Welcome to the Beauty Talk podcast, where we feature how the best medical practitioners help their patients to look better, younger, and healthier. Now, enjoy the show, and here's your host.
Daniel Gao here. I'm the host of Beauty Talk, where we feature the top medical practitioners in health and beauty, both inside and out. I have Brooke Nickel, who is the founder of Saving Face in Austin, Texas. She has over 20 years of experience as a registered nurse and 15 years in aesthetics. She is co-founder of Post Love Skincare, a certified organic CBD line. Brooke was named one of the top 100 injectors in the US and is a national trainer for Allergan Medical Institute. She serves on several advisory boards and is a KOL in the industry. She is faculty and speaks nationwide at conferences across the nation. Her practice, Saving Face, was voted best aesthetic practice at the Aesthetic Show this summer. So Brooke, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Daniel. It's exciting to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's dive right into it. How did you get interested in aesthetics?
So I have actually a really funny story. I used to have a really big judgment against aesthetics and people who do Botox and all of that kind of stuff. But I was a travel nurse. I worked in critical care for a long time, and that's what brought me from Mississippi to Los Angeles. And at a party one evening in the Hollywood Hills, I met a group of people who found out I was a nurse, and they were like, well, you need to come work with us. We all work, you know, with Garth Fisher, and we don't work holidays and we don't work weekends, and we're all just so happy. So you should come work with us. And I thought, gosh, that sounds like a step up from the ICU, right? So I started the career path was really as a circulating nurse for a top plastic surgeon by the name of Garth Fisher in Beverly Hills. And then in 2007, he asked me, he said, do you want to go get some continuing education credits and learn how to do Botox? And I was like, oh, I will never do Botox. I will never work with women who do Botox. And but I really needed the CMEs. And so I decided I would go. And the trainer was Becky Fitzgerald. And she blew my mind. I was 27 years old at the time. And during the training, she asked me to stand up, and she was going to use me as the model to explain how she reads a face and how she assesses the face. And she was saying, if you look at her upper third and her mid third and the lower third and the proportions of these ratios, or if you look at the white ring around her mouth, and she just made it an art. And either she made it an art or my ego exploded. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is something I could really be good at. As long as I take pictures of these crazy women, then they can't blame me for something that was already there. So that really started my career path into aesthetics. And this is, you know, Juvederm was only FDA approved in 2006. And so in 2007, when I lived in LA, there was trainings and conferences on every corner getting this product out. And because I had access to a plastic surgeon, he would sign off on me getting all the training I could. And Daniel, I was like a sponge. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. You know, I really have to study hard for my B+. But I absorbed everything in this industry like it was God's choice for me, not mine. Clearly, I was like, oh, no. But I loved it. And then about 2 years in, just getting all the training and everything, I told Dr. Fisher, I said, you know, I can't be in your OR anymore. I'm just bored to death. And he said, well, if you're going to inject, you come inject for me. I said, okay. So that's it. So since about 2009, I've done nothing but mostly injectables and aesthetics.
Okay, got it. Fascinating story how you started. Yeah. Now you have this amazing practice. So can you discuss some of the more popular treatments that you have? And why do you think those treatments are so popular?
Well, you know, Saving Face started out as an injectable only boutique business. So that was kind of what we are known for. And that is probably the backbone of what we do here. And my business model is still very unique in the sense that my injectors only inject. So if you're a nurse here, or if you're a PA, NP, you really are just doing injectables. And so you are the expert and you do that all day long. So I don't have injectables doing lasers or any other services. So I think it's really, really unique in that. When we first brought on and expanded our services, I first brought on Ultherapy because the Kybella I was doing was melting people's jawlines, and I needed a laser to tighten them up. So that's when the injectable only business became lasers as well. And then from there, we've just kind of grown. I think you asked what I'm seeing most commonly right now. Of course, injectables are always going to be, you know, the go-to for a lot of people. I think biostimulators are becoming very important right now. I think that's where this industry is going. That's where I want to lead this industry. And I also believe, like, we just bought a Silpherm laser, and it's microneedling with radio frequency. And I think that it was such a buzzword, and they marketed it so well. People were calling in asking, do you have microneedling with radio frequency? Do you have microneedling radio frequency? So finally, we decided on the Silpherm as the best fit for our practice, and we brought that in. So we are getting a lot of calls for that with exosomes on top. And so I'm a huge exosome fan as well. So I really think biostimulators, exosomes, and the radio frequency and the microneedling to kind of shrink wrap the skin is probably our most popular treatments that we offer right now.
Got it. And this is a good segue into my next question. I think you kind of already touched on it, as far as what are some new or emerging treatments that you're particularly excited about? You talked about exosomes, which is regenerative medicine, which I'm seeing more and more aesthetic practices getting into. They're kind of seeing that's where the future is. Are you seeing kind of the same thing?
Yes, exactly. I'm looking forward to a little more freedom with those products. I think right now you have your hands tied. There's not a lot of marketing you can do. I really would like for some to push through the FDA trials and to get us a little more freedom behind using those products, because they are really, really good. And I just think that our aesthetic at Saving Face is to keep you looking like you and the best version of you. And when you use these biostimulators and regenerative medicine, that's really what you're going to get. It's really hard to overdo it with those kind of products. And I think you have a lot of people who are in this natural realm of wanting something that's going to stimulate their own collagen rather than a filler or something doing it for it, a synthetic product. So I do think exosomes are where it's at. I love stem cell. I think we're getting into the whole wellness side of the practice. I love your whole beauty from the inside out. And that's kind of our motto moving forward. We will get in more of a peptide offering and that sort of thing, so that you can feel good. Because it's one thing to look great, but if you don't feel good, it really shows, and it's not as long lasting. So I do think the future of Saving Face is going to be more Saving Face body and mind.
Got it. That's a fantastic tagline.
Thanks.
Now, I want to talk a little bit more about what differentiates your practice from others in the industry. And I really want to, I'd like you to touch base a bit more on why you were voted the best aesthetic practice in the country. So I'm sure that a lot has to do with how you differentiate your practice, how you run it, how you view it. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I was super honored to be awarded that honor at the Aesthetic Show this year. And, you know, Saving Face is a business of relationships. And I tell my people that we are in a business of relationships, and the results come along for the ride. And yes, it does matter. We have anatomy classes. We definitely are consistently getting training and upgrades on all of the things, but the patient comes first. And I think when you have a practice where people understand the values of the culture, and we're all dialed in to really listen to what that patient wants, that's our secret sauce. You know, it's like we are intuitive with what we offer the patient. We really want to be present in that moment and build a relationship. So we are probably so far from transactional, and I think people really need that connection. I think especially a post-COVID world, people want connection, they want touch, they want to feel seen and heard, and at Saving Face, that's what we offer.
Okay, got it. So it's really that personalized touch that really sets you apart.
100%. And not to mention, my best friend Stacy designed our offices, and they are the most cozy offices you've ever walked into. So really, it's a feeling that you get when you come in as well. And, you know, it doesn't feel clinical. It doesn't feel sterile. It's very warm. You feel like you're going to your best friend's house, and then you just leave with a prettier face, you know, and feeling better about yourself. So I do think it's the relationship aspect. It's the experience that patients feel coming in. And that starts with your people. So I want to just shout out to my team, because it is so important what they bring to the table and how they treat each person that walks through this door. And so I think it's having an incredible team who can create that experience for that patient.
And I think that's a fantastic point you bring up, is about team and how they help to really build up the business, build up the practice. Because a lot of business owners, they don't really talk about, they may talk about their team, but I think deeper than that is the culture that you as the owner have established. And because of that culture, you attract the right people. So could you just take a moment to explain a bit more of like how you really looked at your culture, built up your culture, and found the right people who are ingrained into that culture to join your organization?
Man, Daniel, culture is so, so key for me. And it's such a part of just the core values of how we're going to run Saving Face. And so I haven't always got it right. You know, there's certain times that I have hired the wrong people or put the wrong people in the wrong places, and you can tell the culture is affected, you know, or kept someone longer than I needed to. And I say, like, didn't free them up to be happier somewhere else. But for the most part, and specifically right now, we are so dialed in, and it is so beautiful when you can curate a group of women who know their why and they know how to show up like as their whole selves every day. And we all have things going on in our lives. We all have, you know, so much that we can bring into the office, but my team has such a great ability to leave that at the door and to walk in and to show up. And I tell people, especially in the hiring process, I said, this team is so tight, and the only time the culture can get affected, which I say is the central nervous system of the practice, the only time that the culture is affected if someone doesn't pull their weight, or if someone is lazy, or they just stop showing up, right? Because I can teach you the skill, but I can't teach you the drive. So either you got it and you're going to show up and you're going to be that person every day. And when you get a bunch of A players and everybody hustles, oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the culture, it's palpable, right? You can feel it good, and you can easily feel it, you know, not so good. So it's very quick that, you know, as soon as I notice something wrong, that I act on it, that I don't let something just kind of stay mediocre. And as I grow as a business owner and as a leader, it's a lot quicker and it's a lot easier for me to like weed out the people who are no longer bringing their highest selves to the work.
Got it. Thank you for sharing that, because it's so important for a business. It's their people. Now, with that, having good people, I'm curious, how do you approach, you and your team, how do you approach educating your patients about the services you offer and also the benefits of it? I'm sure you have some people come in and in their mindset they want one thing, but in reality they need something else. So how do you and your team approach that kind of situation?
Well, I think it's actually, you know, we have just recently, well, I mean, organically grown to offering so many services, and we've just launched our memberships, which is great because, you know, it has it on there. If you're a new patient coming into Saving Face, you get a new patient folder, and in that new patient folder is a list of all the services we have. So sometimes at first, if someone's just coming in and they only really want Botox in between, you know, for their 11s, and I have someone who consults on a full face of rejuvenation and fillers, you can really scare that patient. And so I'm very cautious of building the relationship before letting them know all of these things we can do for your face, because it can be very overwhelming for someone, especially, you know, someone new coming into aesthetics and coming in on their wellness journey. So I think it's just teaching my providers first how to listen, and then to be intuitive on how they approach this patient and what that patient needs. And so it's not just a knowledge dump of, hey, you could do this and this and this and this and whatever. It's more like, hey, what does she need from me right now? Like, what could we do that could bring her best self forward? How am I going to, you know, bring out the best without overwhelming her? And so maybe at first it's just doing the Botox. And then as they come back and they're really happy, and they come back 3 months later, it's, hey, you know what? We could do a little bit of mid-face rejuvenation. Okay. So building the relationship slowly. And then, you know, always, it's on our website. We encourage them. There's so much information on our website. So if you are interested in any other offerings, please go read our website. You have a menu that we're going to hand to them. So that's really how we educate the patients on what's coming in, and just try not to be super overwhelming in our first initial consultation, even though I think it's beautiful. Like Sonia Ellis, one of my dear friends and colleagues, I respect her so much. You've had her on your show. She has the most amazing 3-page consultation forms that she goes through when someone comes in for the first time. And I want to implement that. I also want to make sure that person is ready to hear all of these things, because it is a lot. But I love what she does, because she consults, you know, someone for the next 3 years. It's not just a year plan. It's here's how you're going to, you know, we're going to progress together for the next 3 to 5 years. And I think that's really, really important when it's delivered, you know, beautifully.
Got it. Now, I'm sure that even though you have this great process of educating your patients, I'm sure that there's a lot of common misconceptions about the treatments you provide. So could you share some of those common misconceptions, especially now that you're getting more into the regenerative medicine, the wellness space? I'm sure even more your patients are not quite sure what that means. Or maybe some had the perspective that you had before. I don't want to do Botox. I don't want to do filler, nothing like
that.
So what are some common misconceptions about the treatments you provide?
I want people to know right now, and I'm going to really bring this out in 2024, but I think the common misconception, let's start first with wellness, is that, oh, we just want everybody to be skinny. Like, we just want everybody to fit in their jeans or look good in a bathing suit. And what I want people to know about Saving Face and our peptide program, it's called Optimal Health, is that the disease sits in the fat. And you cannot get down and clear out the disease until you clear out the inflammation. So it is not about being thin or looking good in your jeans. That comes along for the ride. It's literally about clearing out the inflammation so that you can be healthy and that we can, you know, feel good, right, from the inside out. So I just want people to know, when I'm offering something that it can be misconception or misconceived as just a skinny shot, right? It's way more than that. And so we really do want to educate that the person around the lifestyle and the nutrition change that's going to happen in order to maintain it. And then the why that we're doing that. So that's one thing. Another thing too, I mean, I educate everybody on exosomes every day because they're so new and no one knows what an exosome is, right? So really teaching them, you know, what's the difference between exosome and a stem cell and regenerative medicine, biostimulating medicines, you know, that they're not fillers, that we're not going to overdo it, you know, and it sometimes boils down to just teaching people the difference between a neuromodulator and a filler. Some people think, you know, that's what you put in your lips, but we wouldn't be able to really talk if we did a whole bunch of Botox in our lips. So there is misconceptions too. Like, I think big time, I have something. We offer Saving Face lifts and Saving Face filters, and those come at like 5 syringe packages or an 8 syringe package. And so a lot of people hear like, oh no, you're going to do 8 syringes on my face. And they're in their mind thinking, you know, Joan Rivers, or they're thinking Madonna, or they're thinking somebody that just looks absurd. And they have to realize, like, that's still not a lot of product. And if it's in the right hands and it's done correctly and we're building foundation, you could use 10 syringes and still look like the best version of yourself. So really educating people on, we're not here to make you look different. We're here to make you look better. And when we're talking 5 to 8 syringes, sometimes you need that to make an impact. And it's not going to look like a facelift or a fat transfer or something that looks so odd. So it's really, really educating people on the natural outcome, even if we're using multiple syringes.
Got it. Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about how you're able to balance providing a relaxed experience for your patients and your clients, but also ensuring their safety and well-being during treatments. So what is your approach to that, balancing that relaxing environment with making sure that they're being safe and taken care of?
You know, everyone is safe and taken care of. And I think the more relaxed and balanced we are, the safer they are. I think it's when people get in a hustle and they're moving fast and they're not really present and they're in and out is when things, you know, the ball gets dropped or whatnot. Like, trying to stay on time so that they do have a relaxed environment. I have medical assistants for all of my providers. So there is, you know, 2 sets of eyes on everyone getting their treatment done. So that's really a safety, you know, Plus as well that we have here. So it, and also too, charting and making sure we're keeping up with everything. It's just about the flow, and the way that we create flow is a little bit different than most med spas. We do everything in the room. There's no like go to the front and get checked out. You're kind of in the whole room, and we do the whole process, you know, right there. We reschedule you, we check you out, go over your, you know, aftercare instructions and things like that. So they're safe because I think we are present and we are in that calm environment.
Got it. Now, for this next question, I'm actually curious about how you'd answer this, because when it comes to medicine, most people think, okay, you have this protocol, you have this step-by-step procedure that has to be followed. So what do you believe, what role does creativity play in your approach to patient care?
Great question, Daniel. It is, at the end of the day, it is medicine. And at the end of the day, we are prescribing a drug, right? And I think, you know, the big talk now out there is, you know, no one comes in and tells a doctor like, oh, I want, you know, half of a birth control pill or whatever, you know, they, it's a prescription medicine. You are prescribed 3 areas of Botox. We should use 64 units of Botox, and that's how it should be. But really, if I have someone coming in who just needs a little bit or a little touch up, or they want to still look natural, I have to take into consideration the art. You know, I also too, like I could really drop a brow if I loaded their forehead up with, you know, on-label dosing, which would be the medicine part. I would really interfere with the art of making them look better, right? So I think consistently you have to use both sides of your brain, right? You need to use your logic side and you need to use your art side, because if it gets to be one way or the other, you know, it might not be the best result for the patient. So I try to be creative, and I think everything we do as injectors is creative. And I think the best injectors are artists, and sometimes they're just able to see light and shadows and know how to bring out the best in that patient. And that's what we do. And if you just focus on the medicine, and if you're just so textbook all the time, it's different. The textbooks are just, you know, guidelines, and you're going to have to treat everyone individually. And that's when you have to bring in your creative, and that's when you're going to bring in the art of it. But the medicine has like just a little bit of like the protocols and things like that. So, you know, like within these protocols and within these guidelines, I'm going to create art.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Now I want to step back and talk about patients for a moment. You have a long career, a long history, a lot of experience. You have a big team. I'm sure that you've gotten some particularly challenging cases that have come your way. So could you talk about maybe one story of a particularly challenging case that maybe you or your team worked on, but in the end, you were able to get them a fantastic outcome?
The biggest challenging cases, if you really look back, are people with body dysmorphic disorder. And we as a collective have to be very just aware of who we're treating and making sure we align on what we think is beautiful, right? Making sure we have the same aesthetic, because if you have someone who comes in and their idea of beauty is a really full lip and a really tight brow and whatever, and I don't see that as beauty, I'm never going to make them happy. So I have to understand, like, making sure that the patient is not suffering from BDD, that we are able to get to a optimal outcome. Because the most difficult cases are those that it doesn't matter if you knock it out of the park, you're never going to make them happy, because this is an inside job, right? Mm-hmm. So, and those have been challenging. And I've had some that, you know, are actually talking to therapists, and they know that they have this problem, and they are getting help. And that's a beautiful thing. We the biggest thing you can do as an injector is, you know, these patients, when you go to take their picture, they don't want their picture taken. So now we have a whole policy at Saving Face. Everyone has to have their picture taken. It's just a liability for the company. And as soon as someone is like, oh, I don't do that, immediately you probably need to start asking them questions and get that BDD questionnaire out, so that you can really screen this person if they are a good candidate. And then approaching them with like, hey, I just want what's best for you, and I don't think that anything I can do here is going to make you happy. So it's knowing, and now I'm to the point where I can really pick and choose the patients that we see. If it's a red flag, we're just like, I'm sorry, this is a commodity. You could throw a rock and hit the next injector business down the street, right? So I think knowing the right patient selection helps with those difficult cases. And then there's been times where I did have an occlusion. I've had one vascular occlusion in the lip, and we hit it right away. We did not resolve it right away, but within a couple of days. And then she ended up having just some debridement around the lip. She had a facial to kind of clean her out. We put her on antibiotics. We put a little Aquaphor on it. She healed beautifully, like there had been nothing. And she was asking, when can we do her lips again? So that's a huge success story, is if you can have a patient who you walk through that whole situation with, and then they actually still want you to do their lips, that's a big success.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of on the other side of what you're talking about, people with that disorder, is that I think you have a lot of success stories where people, you come in, you make these changes, and you really change their lives. And that's actually the thing I think a lot of people don't really realize in the aesthetic industry. They just think, aesthetic industry is all about vanity, it's all about looks, and that's it. But they don't really realize that, hey, when you're able to make someone be the best version of themselves or look the best version of themselves, like it could turn their lives around. And
huge.
I'm sure we have tons of those stories.
Well, yeah, there is. And there's one particular, I remember this woman had lost her husband, and in the grieving process, she had lost 100 pounds, and she had come and never had any aesthetic injections. And it was probably one of the very first real like liquid facelifts that I did 8 to 10 syringes on and 2 or 3 treatments. And her before and afters, like to see her have light in her whole being again. It wasn't just that her face looked better, but her whole aura and her energy and the way she showed up in this world, it was like giving her a second chance, you know? And it was just, that's when this is way, it goes deeper than just the surface, right? Like you said, everyone thinks like, it's just Botox and fillers. Really not. Like what I tell everybody, Botox and fillers are just the vehicle to get us to the patient on the other side of the chair, right? We're still healers, guys. We're still healers. Don't forget that, you know? So that's a big success story. I knew this was the one question I knew you were going to ask, is like, what is the success story in my business? And I just want to let you know, outside of the patient outcome, I was doing a yearly eval last week for one of my girls here. And she said to me, she said, Brooke, you don't know this, but a year ago, I was laying in my bed thinking of how I could kill myself without hurting as little people as possible. And I was like, oh my God, like she said, and you saw something in me and you gave me a chance. And to come work in this office with this team of women allowed me, you know, purpose and a chance to like get my life in order. And I thought to myself, man, like what better success story is that? Like to have that as, it's not just even for me now, I have 20 girls working with me. So it's not even just about what we can do for the patients, it's what we do for each other. So.
For your team, giving them better lives, giving them, helping them with their families. It's fantastic. Just the reach that you have as the practice owner and a successful practice owner at that, not just helping your patients, but also your team members as well. So I think that's
a beautiful
story.
Yeah.
Now, Brooke, I have one last question that I want to ask you, but before I ask it, I want to point people to your website at www.savingfaceaustin.com. Now, last question is, what is the most important piece of advice you can give to someone who's thinking about getting some type of aesthetic procedure done, but isn't sure which provider to choose or who to go with? What type of advice would you give to someone like that?
Well, I would say nowadays we all have our resumes are everywhere with the social media, right? So like, I would just say, make sure that you find someone who has before and afters that you really love that seem to match your aesthetic. Like if you see an injector who consistently overfills and overfills lips, that's probably not going to be a match for maybe your first time person looking, or if they want that look, then it could be a match. So I would say specifically look at that person's portfolio. You also want to make sure that they have the correct training, that they have, you know, experience, certificates, whatever it is that shows that they have invested in themselves and in their education. And then just ask them, can I just see some of the work that you've done? So I just think that making sure you align with their aesthetic and that they have appropriate education behind them, and then just see how you vibe with them. You know, it's a relationship. Like, you know, a lot of times it's coming in and feeling like you are seen and feeling like you are heard, and not just another number, you know, that you're just part of their day. You really want to feel a part of something bigger. So you find that injector that makes you feel like that, then I think you found your person.
Sounds good. Well, there you have it, Brooke sharing her expertise. Now, Brooke, where can people contact you in your practice?
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Daniel. Just like you said, you can go to our website at Saving Face Austin. Also, our Instagram is Saving Face Austin. I'm not a really, really good at DMing back, but you can certainly send messages to there and we will eventually respond. We also have Facebook and TikTok as well. So yeah, all of those places.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for being on the show and sharing your message.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Beauty Talk podcast. Any questions, please contact the practice directly with the contact information provided during the show. We'll see you again next time. Bye for now.